how many of you, I want you to think about a phrase you've heard in your life. The end of the world is coming. I remember when the guys took the planes into the Twin Towers back in 2001. Somebody called my wife, can't remember who it was, her sister, and asked her, she said, Claudette, is the end of the world coming? That's what she asked her. She said, is the end of the world coming? That's how much fear was evident. She was not the only one. There were a lot of people that thought things were changing because of a lifestyle that they had here, and things hadn't touched them quite that way before. So they thought the end of what they knew as their world was coming to an end. And how many times have you seen movies and people talking and stuff, the end of the world, and they show these cataclysmic things, the asteroid that's going to destroy the earth, or the, you know, whatever's going to happen, you know, and the whole earth dies, aliens come, whatever it may have been, and it's the end of the world. The world gets destroyed. There are huge earthquakes everywhere, and you see molten lava because the volcanoes are going forth and whatever, and the earth kind of disintegrates. And they can show that, and it puts a fear in you because you say to yourself, man, the end of the world. Well, what are you really saying? You're really saying that everything that you knew here in this physical realm is going to come to an end in some way, and you're going to die. Okay? But what if I told you the end of the world is the best thing that could happen to you? What if I told you that? Let's go through some basics here first. First of all, where do I start? I guess I'll try writing over in this little corner over here. You know what we've been saying. There's a celestial realm, right? There's a terrestrial. And then there's a physical realm, right? In religion, people going to church every Sunday, they don't know this. What we're teaching you today, they do not know. And the reason I say that, they think from this physical realm, they're going to go to a heaven if they do what's right here in this physical realm. What if I told you that's not it? They're leaving out a whole realm, a terrestrial realm, that's a world, that's a body, okay? The body is the body of the old man, isn't it? And it has to be crucified, doesn't it? So, but this is your flesh. And now here's the other thing religion teaches people. They teach them their flesh is this physical flesh. That's not what your flesh is. Your flesh is this world here. It's how you think, okay? Now, think about this. Even the scripture says this. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Okay? And people say, well, yeah, that's all those struggles we go through here, the temptations and whatever. But when it's talking about that, it's talking about spiritual things. Okay? So if it's a spiritual thing, how can it be this physical flesh that we live in here? Oh, can there be manifestation here? Oh, of course. But is that what it's actually talking about when it talks about the flesh? Okay, let me tell you about the flesh. The flesh has death, hell, the grave in it. It has all kinds of pride and lust. Lust is in it greatly. It has knowledge and reasoning in it. There's a lot in that, huh? And that's what's in this terrestrial realm. This is what's really your flesh, not this, okay? Because it's a way of thinking. It's not a physical thing. It's a way of thinking. Now, thoughts and words are what? Their spirit. People don't realize that. When you speak words, you have thoughts, that is spiritual. Thoughts and words are spirit. So this is where all of that takes place. Okay? Now this is also called the heart in some places. Out of the heart cometh, and what's the first thing? Anybody remember? Evil thoughts out of your heart. What does it say in, is it Jeremiah 17? It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is what it's talking about when it says it's a world of sin, a world of iniquity. You can't know that because there's so much involved in it, in this world. It's a defiled world. It's a world within you that's become defiled because of the thoughts, because of fornication with those thoughts. Okay? So, but I'm going to tell you something here. Celestial, terrestrial, physical, what if I told you it's all one? I know we divide it for understanding, but what if I told you it was all one? Can you see that? Let me show you how it is. Does this work in every realm? That's what makes it one. It's divided for our understanding so we can understand that those levels are these consciousnesses. Yes. Are you the man of God here? Are you the man of God in the terrestrial realm? Are you the man of God in the celestial? You cannot separate that. Can you, to walk up to Rick or Dan or Brian and say, you're not the man of God, this is physical. You'd be going backwards, guys. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to show you something. I want you to think about this. So yes, we do divide it, just like I did just then. But that's for understanding, for you to understand how everything works. But you think the spirit doesn't work in every place it desires to work? It works everywhere. Okay? What are you doing here? What are you sitting here for in this physical realm? Spirit works everywhere. The words that you're hearing, is the spirit working in that? The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If they're being spoken by the elder or the apostle, does that make them not spirit or life because it's in this realm? No, it is. It's still that. It will always be that. Okay? So, let me talk about these worlds again. This is the world that we have that Paul talked about that has all death, hell, the grave, the pit. All of that is this. This is the lust that you have. It's how you think in your mind, okay? There have been people that have been, things have happened to them in this physical realm, and in this world here, it's convinced them that they are no longer what God made them to be because things have happened to them. But you're still what God made you to be. You catch it? Somebody was saying, welcome home, you know, about the dream. I get told that all the time because I'm a Vietnam veteran. People walk up to me and they say, welcome home, brother. And you know why they're saying that? Because the people that received the Vietnam veterans when it first happened and came home, wasn't a good thing, guys. A lot of them got spit on. A lot of them asked, how many babies did you kill? How many things like that? It's not like today. There was a great hatred toward everyone that had served. Every one of us that served, they hated us. So you didn't come back to this. You came back to this. Or maybe the one finger, you know? That's what you came back to. And you put all your time and your effort into that. You went across and I had friends of mine that are on that wall. I have two friends of mine that are listed on the wall in Washington. I knew them. I knew them as friends. And they're both dead and gone from serving this country. And yet people were still holding their fists up at you and screaming at you and spitting at you because you were a Vietnam veteran. That's the way it was when we came back. It was not good. But this is not what we're talking about here. Spiritually, welcome home, brother. Oh, my God. So what do you think I think of when those guys come up and shake my hand and say, welcome home, brother? What do you think it's reinforcing in me? What the Lord has told me. what God has told me, just like the raising of the hands, it signifies something, doesn't it? Think about what I'm saying right now. So every time I hear that, welcome home, brother. That's prophecy being fulfilled in me. I can hear that and say, yes, that's what my Father tells me. That's what my brothers that are in heaven tell me. My brothers, the angels. My brothers, the apostles. You see where I'm going? Welcome home, brother. That's what Father Abraham tells me. That's what Jeremiah tells me. That's what Hezekiah tells me. That's what Isaiah tells me. Habakkuk, all of them. Welcome home. Matthew, Luke, John, welcome home. Because that's my place, is here. This is the ultimate destiny for me, is the heavenly. Isn't that true? This is the celestial, right? This other world that's in us, it condemns us. It accuses us. It messes with our thoughts, doesn't it? How many of you ever felt like you were lower than everybody else? Has that ever happened to anybody? It's not a singular thing, is it? It's not just me thinking that, right? How many of you thought, because of things that have happened to me, I'm not the same as everybody else? Or I'm lower than everybody else? Or everybody else has a greater access than I have to the things that are going to go on in this world? And you're placing it here in the physical, aren't you? Maybe it might be because of something that happened to you. Maybe it's because of the way you look. Maybe it's something the way you believe. Whatever it may be, it doesn't make any difference. You have felt that feeling at one time or another. Where, and let me tell you, it's a big deception. It's a huge deception. Because everyone that God made is a word from Him. That's the thing that we forget. This word came from here. And then came down to here. Just because this was defiled does not make it not the Word of God. It's still the Word. But what happened is it was a word that we had a misunderstanding, huh? When we fell here, we misunderstood everything. We were too immature. We believed something and was deceived to bring us to a place that caused our world to be defiled. And people enhance that. People actually here that didn't understand, didn't they say things to you that make you feel like you were different? Did they say things to you that hurt you? Did they do things to you that hurt you? Wow. And we thought if we prayed to God enough, He would take care of those things here in this physical world. What if I told you it's how you think about them that makes the difference? How you think about them. So this is what God is trying to show us right now. Let me read that scripture to you again that we read the other night. I think it's in the 6th chapter of Galatians. Let's read this again. Now listen to this. Verse 14. Listen to what it says. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So the ultimate goal of this world here that's so corrupt is to be crucified, right? Isn't this the ultimate goal? But how does it happen? Does it happen because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified? Because he died on that cross, he gave you the power to be able to crucify that world. The song said today, grace, didn't it? What is grace? It is the work of God. Was that the work of God, his son dying on the cross? Was that the work of God? So is his grace, is it God performing the works to change everything so that this world can be crucified? Is he giving you the power through wisdom and understanding to crucify this world because of the sacrifice of his son? The power that was manifest by the crucifixion is the same power that's going to be manifest to crucify that which is not of God. Does that make sense? That's what's going to be manifested. So this is what God is trying to show us. This world has to be crucified unto you and you unto it. don't believe the vile things that come out of that flesh, out of that world. Because it's always going to accuse you. It's always going to make you seem like you're the devil. You did something wrong. You're the man of sin. What did Rick tell us a couple of months ago? He said, you believe it's you. Don't you? I'm that man of sin. I'm that devil. I'm that Satan. Now listen closely to what I'm saying, guys. Can you create those things? And if you believe them, can you become them? But that's not who you are. Remember, go back to what I just told you. You're a word of God from the beginning. He spoke you into existence. You are part of him. You are the word of God that he spoke from the very beginning. And at the same time, he created his son, which is the Christ, which is the beginning and the end. And he is what's going to end this world for you because he is the end. Your ultimate goal is the end. That's this, which is the Christ that's in heaven. He can do this for you. You got to quit beating yourself. You say, I got to do it. I got to change myself. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm so overwhelmed by what's going on in my mind, by the thoughts in my mind. Don't worry about that. Put your trust in God, and God will help you to overcome. He'll crucify this world for you. How many of you are tired of your thoughts? Thoughts that are not of God. Remember, Paul said this, this world is crucified unto me and I unto it. Those things that keep bugging you, that keep coming to your life, that make you feel bad, that change everything about you. This is what God wants to destroy. Wait a minute, he wants to destroy it? Yes, he does. This is the end of the world that we're talking about. This is the one you should desire. Lord God, let it be the end of that world. The end of it. I don't want this world anymore in me. I don't want those thoughts anymore in me. I want to have peace. I want to believe. I want to be with you. I want to be out of torment. I want to have the mind of God in me so that I can walk as a free and, what did you say, unencumbered man? Woman? I can be free. Oh, yeah, but some terrible things happen to you. God has come to do this. He came to change all that for me. Now, I want you to think about something. The terrible things happened to Jesus. Did terrible things happen to Jesus? Oh, yeah. Did terrible things happen to the disciples? All the apostles? What about the prophets? Did terrible things happen to them? Even to the loss of their life. Isn't that true? Terrible things. Torments, torture. One of them describes it, man, we sawn asunder, beaten and whipped, crucified, put in boiling oil. The history says that. Trying to keep them down. Look at the things that happened to them. Torment, huge things. And yet, you ask any one of them, guess what those apostles say? For Christ I live and for Christ I die. You know why? They had a peace. They knew that death even couldn't separate them from Christ. Whew. Neither life nor death could separate them from Christ. Because they know there's another whole life that starts after you die, isn't there? Your spirit does not die. What's in you and makes you and gives you life lives on, doesn't it? Now, where it lives, That's what you want to take charge of, huh? Where does it live? Where is your ultimate destiny? Where are you going to go, as we say? What's going to be your place? God has already given you a way out. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. Remember we talked about this is a world of iniquity, right? Every bad thing you can think of is going to happen here. It happened to Jesus here. If we're going to suffer like Jesus suffered, now think about this. If you're going to suffer, you don't want to suffer just for the world's sake, do you? Wouldn't you rather suffer for Christ's sake? And those sufferings, if you suffer with him and you're buried with him, do you not have to be risen with him? Oh, my goodness. Some of us think we're going to walk through this walk with Christ and never have to contend with anything. You think that? No. Let me let you in a little secret. Everything he contended with, you're going to have to contend with in your world. Every single thing. Did people hate him? Sure did. Did they mock him? Did they tell him he was no good? Didn't they even accuse him of being a drunkard? Accuse him of being a liar? Wow. Didn't they? Didn't they say that this man is had a devil in him? Didn't they say that about Christ? Said he has a devil in him. Didn't they say that? Wow. So they accused him, didn't they? You ever been accused? You ever accuse yourself? I messed up. I did this. I did that. You ever accuse yourself? Yeah. Condemn, judge yourself? Wow. What about if you didn't forgive yourself? Have you ever had that happen to you where you couldn't forgive yourself? Because it's something that happened. I can't forgive myself. You can't? Hey, let me let you in on a little secret. You can't take all this judgment, condemnation, and unforgiveness and think you're going to enter into a place where God is. It's not going to happen. You know why? Because you have to give it up. You're taking the place of God when you try to do the judging and the condemning and about forgiveness, huh? You're not God, guys. So this is what you have to do. You have to allow God to work these things out in your life, and you overcome them, and then you go from here to here. Wow. That's a powerful thing, huh? All right, let's go to 1 John 2. Wow, this is 1 John 2, beginning at verse 15. Love not the world. First four words, huh? Love not the world. What world is he saying that you shouldn't love? You shouldn't love this one. There's lust in this world. Oh, there's things you desire in it. Isn't it true? I'm talking about where you think now. Where you think. This is what happens. Can these thoughts make you do things that you think within yourself? Man, I never would do that. How many of us said, I would never do that and wound up doing that? Right. Because this world convinces you because there's deception in it. This is a defiled world. And you defiled it with your thoughts. The thoughts that you fornicated with that were not of God. You fornicated with your own thought. You started thinking about yourself the way you desire to think about yourself and not the way God thinks about you. Do you think God thinks about you as being something low and terrible, something to be trodden down, something to be gotten rid of, something to be abused or whatever? You think God thinks of you this way? What did we just talk about the other day? Wasn't it the prodigal son? Wow. Son that went out, did all the wrong things, huh? What did the father do when the son decided to come home? Ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him. You see what happened? Put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him, huh? Shoes on his feet. Because the father is always ready to receive you. You may make decisions that cause you to have problems. That does not stop his love from working in you. He loves you regardless. Oh, yeah, do we have obedient and disobedient children? Do we stop loving them because they're disobedient? You don't stop loving them because they do the wrong thing. What makes you think the Father's the same way? He loves you unconditionally, and he's always striving to do what? Bring you back to a place of home. Always striving to bring you back. Isn't he? He's always giving you his thought, always letting you know that he loves you. Oh, is there a judgment of God? Yes, there is. But that's not what you should be concentrating on. You should be concentrating on his love for you. Because that's what's going to bring you home. No matter what's happened to you, no matter how great the affliction, no matter how great the torment, God's trying to bring you home. He's trying to relieve all that so he can bring you back. So look at what he says first. He said, there's something you have to do now. You got to stop loving that world. We say, well, I don't love it. Yes, you do. Your thoughts are constantly cycling in it. You keep thinking the way you think over and over again because you love this. You're comfortable with it. Some people say, there's no way in the world I love being tormented, whatever. Are you still being tormented? Are you still being troubled? Well, there's no way I love that. Is it still happening? Catch what I'm saying. Have you gotten used to it? Do you want people to pity you? Do you? Oh, you poor thing. Do you want them to pity you? Do you want to use worldly sorrow? If I speak the right things to them, they'll feel sorry for me and I'll get what I want. Oh, wait. Is that this world working again? Yeah, it is. It's working big time. And it's lying to you. God does not want you to approach him in weakness, guys, about everything that's wrong about you. Well, I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that. Yes, you do. You need it all. But you're not going to gain it from being weak. You're going to gain it by being strong. Paul said this, in my weakness, I am made strong because by the grace of God, I've given it to him. So if I allow his grace to work, he will bring me to a place where the weakness is no longer in me. So do I glory in my weakness and tribulations? Yes, I do, because you know why? Because I know God's going to overcome every one of them. Wow. Didn't Paul say that? He said, man, I can glory in it now. You know why? I've given it to God. The grace of God is what's going to work this thing out for you. So, first thing it says, love not the world. Don't love this. Don't get, what is that other scripture? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not a good place, is it? But it says, I'll fear no evil. Here's what we tell people all the time. I've said this a bunch of times. You walk through that valley of the shadow of death, you'll be in the darkness, you'll be low, you'll be all of that. Don't camp out there. God doesn't want you to stop and camp out there, make a home, build a home there in the valley of darkness. You know what God wants you to do? He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He wants you to realize you've never been alone. He's always been there with you. So then your fear can go because all of it's been covered by the love of God that's walking with you. In fear, there's torment. But what if you have confidence in God? That makes it different, doesn't it? Wow. So do we go through places, that valley of the shadow of death? Do we go through dark places, Ernest, sometimes? Do we go through low places? Hey, let me say this. Sometimes do you go through hell? Does hell happen to you sometimes? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm going through hell right now. Yeah, you are. You may be because of your thought. That's where the tribulation comes, huh? If you can just find yourself believing, God will take you from this place to this place. But he says the first thing you have to do is quit loving that world you're in. Quit loving all that pity and what do we call it? Worldly sorrow. Oh, it's a world, right? Love not the world. So he says, quit loving that worldly sorrow. Quit loving all that petting on you and being pitiful. He says, you're bigger than that and you're better than that because I am with you. I'm with you. Very important thing. First, he says, love not the world. You got to stop that. Neither the things that are in the world. Isn't that what Paul said? The world is crucified unto me and I unto it. He's saying, I'm not going to love those things in the world anymore. He had to put himself in a place where he said, I'm seeing it, but I'm not going to love it no more. I'm not going to partake in it anymore. It's crucified unto me and I unto it. I'm not going to try to pull things from that anymore. I'm not going to desire things in that anymore. I'm not going to have pride and lust in it anymore. You see what I mean? All of those things. This world is going to be crucified. This is the end of the world that you want. You want an end to this. And guess what the end is? It's Jesus. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. You want the good end, don't you? But you do want an end to this, don't you? The end of this world. And guess who's going to help you get it? The one that is the end, the Jesus. The Christ is going to end this for you. That's good stuff, isn't it? People say, oh, I'm scared of the end of the world. They're thinking wrong. Rejoice at the end of this world. Rejoice that God takes this and just crucifies it. Gets rid of it for you. Now listen, it says that basically in the next thing. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You keep loving this, and you think you have Jesus in you? You think you love the Father? You think the Father's working in totality in you when you love that? You're keeping him out. You're closing the door to him. He wants to help, but you love the world too much. You love your own thoughts too much. You love this world, this flesh, too much. And this is the world within you. Does that make sense? So if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So you're not that man of sin. You're not the devil. You're not Satan. But if you keep letting them speak to you and dwell on those thoughts, can you become? There was a man that followed Jesus, had the same things happen to him that happened to all the other disciples. When Jesus washed their feet, he washed his feet. When he sent them out two by two, they went out two by two. He was with them in the midst. And yet, at the end, guess what? Who was he? What was his name? Judas. What's he called? The son of what? Son of perdition. There was somebody that loved that world more than they loved Christ. They started taking steps back, didn't they? Not good. Not good. This is what this world will do to you. And this world is the inner world of your thought. When it talks about that flesh, it's not talking about this. It's talking about this. How you think. So how is your thinking? What do you think about yourself and about others? What do you think about each person here that's in the body? What do you think about them? How do you think about them? Because if you're thinking wrong, if you're judging, if you're condemning, if you're unforgiving, guess what? You just pointed that finger at you. What did we read in Romans 2? Thou, O thou that judgest and doeth the same thing. That's why you don't do those things. You're not even supposed to judge yourself. It seems, oh, wait a minute. You mean I did things and I'm thinking about them. Yeah, God says you're not even supposed to judge yourself. Don't do it. Let God do it. Because he knows what he can do to bring you from where you think you are to where he wants you to be. There's a big difference. Isn't that true? That's a powerful thing when you think about it. So, and then here's the part I wanted to get to, verse 17. First, let me read this other one again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the one I love. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Whew. So is that world going to pass away, Ernest? Oh, yes, it will. You can keep trying to hold on to it, but you're going to struggle and you're going to be tormented. This is where you need to leave. You need to leave your thoughts and allow God to allow that world to pass away, to let it be crucified. Kill it so that you don't have to worry about it anymore. Anything, I tell people this all the time, and I'm almost near the end here. Everything that's happened to me in my life was to bring me to this point, good and evil. So I told you about the, and I'm using examples here, I told you about the Vietnam thing, huh? I told you about how I grew up. I've told you about those things before, right? There were threats made to us little kids when we were little kids because of our color. It was amazing, the things that happened. Fear, little kid going to school in fear, constantly trembling because you didn't know what was going to happen to you, whether you would live or die, whether someone was going to take a notion to kill you. It's an amazing thing, and you don't know why. You have no idea except that you know you look different. That's about it. And people say, well, that was an unrealistic fear, okay? There are four girls that went to Sunday school in Birmingham, Alabama. Sunday school at church. And a guy came by and threw a bomb down there and killed all four of those little girls. That's the reality that we lived in those days. There was a guy coming home to his wife that had been a worker for rights. And they shot him in his front yard, and his wife and children saw him die in the front yard. Those are lynchings all the time. Go open up the newspaper and you see someone that looked like me hanging from a tree. And so we said, those are worldly examples. Yeah, I'm just trying to show you terrible things can happen here. But there were people that believed God even then. They believed God. And guess what God did? He's changed a lot of that, hasn't he? I'm talking about here in this physical earth. He's changed a lot of it, huh? That's pretty good. So what I'm trying to show you is that no matter what happens to you here, it's just a manifestation. It's a manifestation of the evil that was in men's hearts. Isn't that true? That's all it is. The hatred is there. Do you think it stopped? All you got to do is listen to your news. How much war and rape and torture and killing and everything is going on in this world right now. Do you think there are people suffering? Yeah, they are. And we think that that should be changed here, that God should come and just wipe all that away and bring peace to this physical earth. You think that's ever going to happen? No. Guess where he's going to do it at? So that no matter what happens here, you got it here. Does that make sense? You have it here. Is this better than anything that could happen in the world? Oh my God. So bad things can happen, and you, because you have this relationship with God, the true relationship, not what religion teaches every Sunday. You go to all these churches, they're not going to tell you about the three areas consciousness that you have. They're just not going to tell you about it. They don't know. They have no idea. So they just tell you, just believe Jesus, let him come into your heart, and everything will be good here. You liar. You liar. He's going to change all your circumstances. He's going to make everything right. And if you pray for a car, you'll get a car. If you pray for a house, you'll get a house. And if you pray for a husband, you'll get a husband. That's what they tell you. That's what they tell you. Liars. They lie so much they don't know when the truth comes. That's not how God works. He doesn't wave a magic wand and change everything for you here. Are there things that you must go through? You have to. Like I said, everything that's happened in my life to bring me to this point had to happen. People say, wait. People didn't have to be that way. They didn't have to do that. That's right. They didn't have to be. But they were. So this is what happened. What if I let that stuff get to me? What if you let it get to you? Boss doesn't treat me right. Oh my God, my whole world is shattered. Really? Really? Teacher doesn't like me, so my whole world is shattered. Really? You're giving them too much power, guys. You're giving too much power to the people that try to harm you. I'm just trying to tell you here is how you think about it. That's what makes the difference. How you think about it. Have people spoken to you just terrible things to you because they say, oh, you don't do your job right, you don't do this, you don't do that. They've judged you. Have they ever done that to you too? Oh, plenty of times. Have they ever done it to anybody here? But what if you say within yourself, I know because of whom I serve, and I know I'm doing the best I know how in Christ, and I'm working and doing my best, so whatever he says doesn't make any difference to what's in my world. My world knows I'm doing my best. Isn't that true? And you say, well, that's a poor consolation. No, it isn't. You follow the things of Christ, things go better for you here. Always. In fact, minds can be changed here because you don't care anymore about that. All you care about is what's going on in here. And things start to change, don't they? Is it you changing it? No. You're just finding yourself in Christ. And guess what starts to happen? That'll be noticed. You find yourself in Christ, that'll be noticed. Because you're thinking about the things of God and not thinking about the things of this world and this world. You're not thinking about those. What you're thinking about is pleasing the Father and being an obedient son. That's what you're thinking about. So there's things you may have to go through, huh, Terry? Kiko, some things you may have to go through? Even in this physical world? Yeah. Some good stuff. All you got to do is just remember, if you have Christ, nothing changes for you. It only changes in the minds of people that don't believe. And it'll change in your world if you don't believe. But what if you do believe? No matter what happens, guess where you're at? You're in the arms of the Father. You're like Lazarus. You're in Abraham's bosom. You don't have to worry about it because you understand what God is actually doing. Does that make sense? So, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world passeth away. Wow, I love that. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. I like that. Isn't that what you want? Do you want your world to pass away that you have and the lust thereof so you don't even have to deal? You know what? The thing comes to the place. What did it say about the apostles? They're in the flesh, but their mind's always in the celestial. So no matter what happens in this fleshly realm right here, it doesn't affect them. Isn't that what you would like? You can move all through that fleshly realm and nothing affects you because your mind is in the celestial. You know who you are. Isn't that cool? Isn't that the ultimate goal? Isn't that what you want? This is going to be a good thing, guys. So what we have to do is understand where these places are in us. And understand that there's going to be things that'll happen. But guess what? What's happening in God is much greater. What does that scripture say in 1 John? It says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. If our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. We need to have our confidence in God, don't we? That's where we need to have our confidence. Not in things here. Not in our own thought in this world here. Not in what we think we know and can do, but in what he can do. That's the thing we have to have our confidence in. What he can do. Because by grace, he'll do it, won't he? If he's doing the work, he's going to do it by grace, huh? Anybody have any questions for me about what I said?